We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
To no one's surprise, the overall number one seed is Duke, with the Blue Devils playing in the East Region. The Blue Devils, the 14th time they're a number one seed, their first since 2015. Four of their five titles came as a number one seed.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. I got to tell you, I'm filling out the bracket here, Mr. David, and I actually have a Final Four that includes Michigan State and Michigan playing. I want them to play for a fourth time.
So not too provincial there.
I picked it that way.
The quad. Your bracket's going to end up with the quad, the fourth time that Michigan would play Michigan State. I don't think that would go well for Michigan either.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure that would work. Did you like the selection show changes? I thought in 36 minutes they got to it right away.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I like when they just get to it. It didn't bother me at all the way they did it.
Seth Davis was right at the very beginning. Said, you didn't come here to watch me talk or hear me talk.
He's right.
I want to hear what he had to say later. I think they're very good. You tend to look forward to the analysis from a Seth Davis, from a Clark Kellogg, from even a Greg Gumbel. But, those guys are fine. But last year took too long. It dragged on and on and on. Last night was a lot better, a lot more efficient.
I agree, and I think we should run through this a little bit. Let's start with the top left part of your bracket. We'll start with Duke as the number one seed
in the East.
Yeah, let's start with. So who do you like?
Duke, do you have any upsets in that bracket? I think it's very difficult to look at. Michigan State in that bracket, still, you wonder why. Did they deserve that? I felt like they won the Big Ten championship and it was ignored. They were put on a path to meet Duke in the,
You see, that's a great thing for Michigan State.
Elite Eight.
I think this. I think Michigan State.
I don't know that it is, Mully.
I think it's really good for them. I think that getting declared, getting a reason to feel angry, even if it's, again, I don't think they were sitting there in the driver's seat of that, but I think that is another, the Big Ten champion, the champion of the tournament usually does pretty well. The ACC tournament champion is usually, is often an NCAA winner. So that used to be a big thing to keep an eye on. But
it seems more like a sentence to me than a pairing. I don't think that's a good idea.
I like that they're angry.
I think March is the time when Tom Izzo teams play well anyway. I don't know they need any extra motivation to play Zion Williamson and company. I think that's a bad draw for them. If I were to pick a team that will surprise some people, as I said in the 5-5, I think Belmont will be a team that wins a couple games, and starting tomorrow against Temple, and then maybe.
Where is that? Where are you? Are you still
in the
East?
Yeah, still in the East.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Belmont can beat Maryland, and I think Belmont could end up playing Michigan State, but I think I have Duke coming out of there as a Final Four
team.
So
you got Duke against Michigan State.
In the Elite Eight,
and you got
Duke in the Final Four.
I'm going with Michigan State beating Duke, or Duke not quite getting there. I think Duke's the best team in the tournament. I just don't think the tournament usually plays to form. Now, I may change that pick by Thursday.
I hate picking top seeds. Who doesn't? Everyone loves the upset.
Well,
pick.
I've got a 1-2, and you got a 1-2. Yeah. So it's Duke, MSU. Whoever you pick, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go to the bottom part of that bracket. You got Gonzaga, and is the number one seed. You've got Michigan is the number two seed.
Yep.
And you've got
down in the West.
Who's the three seed? Texas Tech. I like Texas Tech. And the fourth seed is Florida State. I think Florida State can make some noise. I with apologies to Brian Hanley, I think I'm going with Murray State over Marquette.
No.
Because you got to come up with a 12-5 upset. And I want to see what John Morant can do in the tournament. And the tournament is a time for great players to take over, and great guards usually can take over games in the tournament. That's going to be a really hard game for them to win because he doesn't have enough help to get it done. And I think Marquette is a good team. But I got the Zags losing to Michigan on that side of the bracket. I think Michigan.
You have Michigan in the Final Four.
Michigan's been in the Final Four for. I think John Beilein.
That's a John
Beilein really,
vote. You're voting for coaching there.
I think.
And I think that's understandable given his history.
Yeah, he's done very well.
They also beat your Ramblers, and you're sort of impressed by that still.
That was just because of injuries.
Not to bring that up.
It wasn't real.
I think that when you talk about.
We're not really going to get much into that.
No. Murray State, Marquette, that's one of the more intriguing first round matchups to me because you've got John Morant versus Marcus Howard. And I think that Murray State is right now a team that is a bit trendy, but I think they're going to beat Marquette. I'm with you. I don't know that they're going to beat Florida State in the next round, but Gonzaga, to me, will come out of there. They'll struggle. They'll learn from their St. Mary's whiff in the conference tournament. Texas Tech, very well-coached team. I think they beat Buffalo, and they get through. But I don't know about the Wolverines. I hope that I'm wrong. But to me, Florida is very much overlooked as a 10 seed. That was a little bit lower than you anticipated. But it wouldn't shock me if Florida beats Michigan, and then I have Texas Tech beating Florida and Gonzaga emerging as a Final Four team out of the West to play Duke.
Wow.
So that is my Western bracket.
All right, let's go to the top right corner, my friend. Who do you like?
That would be the South. So
in Virginia.
See, you don't like Virginia, and I understand why, because you're still stung by the 116 loss last year.
I don't dislike Virginia, and I think they're a better team than they were a year ago. I just think that when you have this defensive style of play, that means that you're going to allow your opponent to be in every game. So you're going to have to win some closer games than you want. When you're picking teams, you want blowouts, right? Mm-hmm. You want teams that are lopsided winners, and maybe Virginia, while they're good and they've won some close games, I've got Virginia going deep into this thing. I've got Virginia and Tennessee as my Elite Eight teams.
Okay.
And I got Tennessee going through to the Final Four.
A team like Tennessee would give Virginia fits.
Yeah.
Athletic and deep and talented, I definitely would see that being a matchup problem. To me, this is the ideal bracket for Virginia. You look at some of the other teams. Okay, Ole Miss, Oklahoma winner. That's not going to be a great game, but I think they can win that one. But then Wisconsin, Kansas State, even Purdue at the lower end of the bracket. These are teams that play similar styles at times as Virginia. You can see them, you know, prevailing and having better matchup situations than maybe had they been paired against other teams in other brackets. So in other regions, this is, to me, an ideal region. Virginia and Purdue play in the Elite Eight, but I like the way that I don't like the way Purdue ended its season, but I like the way that they came through the Big Ten. That's a very deep conference. Purdue, Matt Painter coached, I think he was a Big Ten coach of the year. I've got Purdue, and not just because it's a nod to Hoosiers everywhere outside of Bloomington, but I have Purdue getting to the Final Four.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I got Tennessee over UVA in that bracket. So you've got Purdue getting through. I have Tennessee beating Purdue.
I have a 3 seed. I wanted to pick a 3 seed. You know, you had to
good. I'm
so Purdue out of in the South. So back down in the Midwest.
Okay.
The last bracket.
Yeah. This is a tough one for me.
Tough one?
Yeah, I'm really struggling a little bit with this one because I don't necessarily like North Carolina. But I don't see a team that's going to beat them. You know what I'm saying? So
they're very good. They're very deep.
I didn't mean to do this. I really didn't. But I've got Houston getting through to face North Carolina, and I don't like Carolina so much that I now have Houston beating Carolina. So my Final Four.
Wow, 36 years later, five slam a jamma part two.
I have no number one seeds. Which is really stupid. I'm going to have to redo my
well, you're allowed to do that. It's Monday morning. You
but
know?
Again, this is my first glance through it. I got Michigan State, Michigan, Tennessee, and Houston.
Well, I think that's a very compelling Final Four. You might want to look at that again, but I think sometimes your gut is the best way to follow.
Right.
So different people have different methods. North Carolina is very good. Utah State's a good team, but I don't think they can beat North Carolina. Kansas and Auburn, to me, in the second round, is going to be a very good matchup. Kansas is going to be difficult probably at that stage, but they don't.
I think they're just not good enough. You know what I mean? I think you're right. It's unfair that they get a home field advantage, but I think Carolina's just a better team than them.
Houston can win a couple games. They're not going to beat Kentucky. Kentucky can beat North Carolina. They're deep. They're talented. They have Cal. I'm going Kentucky to the Final Four.
Oh, wow. So your Final Four then?
Kentucky, Purdue, Duke, and Gonzaga.
So who's your championship?
Duke will beat Kentucky.
Wow. That's good. I like it. I got Michigan State beating Houston.
You have Michigan State cutting down the nets.
I do.
Izzo again?
I didn't mean to, but that's how it turned
out.
Go
Sparty.
I just love the idea that a fourth game against Michigan. I don't know why. That just appeals to me. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You're predicting Hoiberg. A Hoiberg will be a champion. Fred Hoiberg's son on the team.
Okay. Yeah, that's not what I'm predicting, but there you go. All right. 312-644-6767. Who's your dark horse? Who's the team to keep an eye on that we're not talking about? It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Pleasantries being exchanged between Mike Krzyzewski and Leonard Hamilton. And congratulations to the Duke Blue Devils, the ACC tournament champions, for the 21st time.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. It has been all about Zion Williamson in this college basketball season. He has been kind of the breakaway great player, and Duke has been very good with him and very mediocre without him. And I think that's what kind of scares me a little bit about Duke. I think they're a very worthy number one seed, and I think you take into account the fact that he's back, and that changes them, and it makes them a favorite in this tournament. If he was not back, if he was not back, I don't think they win the ACC tournament.
I don't either.
And certainly they're not the number one overall seed if he's sitting out this tournament, as people were advising him to do. But there's still flaws on that team that even the great Zion Williamson does not erase. They still struggle sometimes
the
with
freshmen.
The three.
Cam Reddish.
That's right.
You know,
that's
R.J.
Right.
Barrett. They're
right.
Freshmen.
They got a lot of
They're prone
great
to
players.
Having off nights, and they could
first
disappear.
Round draft picks, lottery picks,
sure.
A lot of them. Don't get me wrong.
They're great investments, but on any given Thursday or Friday, Saturday or Sunday, they could disappoint you. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Zion Williamson is going to be one of those guys that you look back at. This is going to be a historic run for him. You looked at what he did Friday night against North Carolina. Oh, my
29
goodness.
Points? Was that what it was?
Yeah. I think it was 29. Inside, outside, dunks, three-pointers, showing a little bit of touch against an elite opponent. Duke, to me, if he stays healthy and out of foul trouble, I'm not sure anybody's going to touch them. Now, locally, yesterday in Chicago, Michigan State, they beat Michigan for the third time this season. They win the Big Ten tournament at the United Center, and then they find out that they are in the same region, and they have to go through Duke.
Yeah, and Michigan is in a better region, really. Let's be honest about it, a better position.
They have to travel, though.
Yes, they
That's
do
the one thing
travel.
People pointed out. You mentioned Bernard Muir, the selection committee chairman, and I know a lot of people on that committee who did a great job. This committee did a wonderful job, but if you're a Michigan State fan, you've got to feel a little bit like, what happened? Why are we being punished?
But I think the problem is that you look at it and you say, okay, the Big Ten had the most teams in the tournament, so that means there's better balance to them than anywhere else. But you look at what the ACC, they get three of the top four teams, right? Mm-hmm. And you can go through them. Duke's had a great year.
They're
Duke
deserving.
Has an unbelievable history.
Yes.
They've got the premier player. Virginia, despite being a number one seed last year and the first ever to lose to a 16, that's not taken into account. You're taking into account what they've done this year. They've been an excellent team this year. They've been atop the ratings and the standings all year long, and they are a deserving number one seed.
They beat North Carolina.
North Carolina, same way.
Yep.
You could sit here and pick them apart, but this is a team that's been to, something like two of the last four Final Fours. They just seem to always be in contention and a really good team, and they were battling in that division all year long in the ACC.
And if you had to pick one team that matched up as well with Duke as any team in the tournament, it probably would be North Carolina.
No question about it.
So talent-wise, that's not any – there are no concerns about that. The Gonzaga is the one where I feel like if you're a Michigan State fan, right, you can look at and say, hey, they lost to St. Mary's. Hey, they've got 4 wins over quad one teams, and we have 12. How do you – I mean, look,
and they've got
I know,
a history in the tournament that is of mixed value, right? They're definitely a top program. Mark Few has built up an unbelievable program there, and people look at them, and they've been a real good team all year long. But they're out west. They're playing in the middle of the night. A lot of people around here aren't watching a ton of their games, and they're, you know, here they come, and this is one of their better teams, and they could make a lot of noise, or they could fall. They've lost in the tournament. They've been they're always one of these teams that kind of – they're more of a Sweet 16 team than a Final Four team.
Yeah, I think that those are good points. And Mark Few is terrific, and this is – Gonzaga does not need to be, you know, apologized for anything. It's just that when you're evaluating things as closely as you have to evaluate them when you're talking about seeding and where teams go and how much they have to travel – I have a hard time from a Big Ten standpoint looking at Michigan beating Michigan State 3 times and essentially having the same sort of tournament destination or agenda as Michigan did. Michigan State and Michigan are both number 2 seeds. Michigan State is, you know, in the East region. They have to stay closer to home. They go to Washington, D.C. But you look at, you know, that's the way that the path would take them. They open up, obviously, against Bradley on Thursday in Des Moines. But Michigan is sent out west, you know, in the west region, and I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing because of the opponents in their bracket. So, yeah, Michigan State, the travel aspect factors in, but I'm not sure that's a big deal. It just seems wrong that Michigan State beat Michigan 3 times and had the same sort of tournament situation.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that Michigan has the better one because they avoid Duke.
Yeah,
and as
they
you
avoid
say,
Duke.
The travel is supposed to be the thing that evens that out, but I'm not even sure that's the case.
Do you think that the committee factors in storylines? Are you one of those?
I don't believe they do. I really don't. I think the committee, I think they're very open about exactly what they do. And, you know, I know they're using Net this year more, right? They got a new statistic.
The NCAA evaluation tool, Net.
Yes.
N-E-T.
Yeah. And that's great. They have something that they can lean back on. But I think it's really interesting that they don't – there's no recency bias in this tournament. There should be. It means more to win a tournament game at the end of the year than it does to beat some opponent in November when some kid's got an exam or somebody's girlfriend broke up with them.
I think that's fair and as appropriate in the way that they use the numbers. I just wonder
– most people break up in November.
Doesn't somebody
– I don't know. I don't know where that came.
I always did.
How else do you explain Minnesota?
Christmas presents.
Yeah, every November, I got to get out of this before Christmas.
Then after Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Minnesota, Louisville. I mean, somebody in that committee room had to have seen that as like, oh, there's some drama there.
Yeah.
Richard Pitino against Rick Pitino's old school, which he is, by the way, suing right now, Louisville. That's a good matchup.
I think Minnesota wins that game because I think that the father has so much information on how to beat his team. You don't think he's helping his kid?
And Minnesota,
you don't think he's going to tell him
pretty
everything?
Well, you know. That,
well, I know, but yeah. I'm saying I really think that the fix is in on that one, Joe. I don't know what Vegas says, but I I think something's a little dodgy there.
I don't think the committee moves teams around is based on the seedings, but once they saw, oh, we got a 7-10, we got to match these two guys up, right? With Minnesota,
don't you have
and
to? Or it's impossible to ignore.
Louisville's favored by 4.5 on that one.
I'd pick Minnesota.
I would too.
I would too.
Yeah, they look means, good in the tournament
that
too.
That means Louisville rolls,
exactly.
By the way.
Yes, it does. Writing them down.
And we got 3 of us calling for an upset. There's
Jerry
a problem.
Palm coming up next.
Let's do this!
6:41 on the score on this Monday morning. Getting ready to talk to Jerry Palm from CBS Sports about his brackets and your brackets and everyone's brackets. But first, a check of traffic with Jill Urchek. Hey, Jill.
Hi. It is busy already on the inbound Stevenson. Traffic sponsored by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. A 48-minute trip in from the Veterans Tollway to Lakeshore Drive 38, heading in from the Tri-State. The Edens, 28 minutes in from Lake Cook Road. Kennedy, 35 in from O'Hare. 15 from Montrose. 14 in the Express. Now the Eisenhower cleared up nicely. It's 38 minutes in from 390. 25 from Wolf. outbound, we have tons of accidents, but they're all cleared. On the Ryan, 28 95th on in, slowing down on 57. That's a big one, 127th into the Ryan. Ford starts backing up 115th into the Ryan in the Tri-State North. Slowing down a bit as well. Westbound Reagan, a crash reported right at Yackley. Other tollways look good. It's pothole season, and all that jarring can damage struts, ball joints, and axles. AMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care offers free steering and suspension check to catch early problems. If potholes have you rattled, search AA MCO AMCO for the location near you. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
It's March. Duke is always about March and the postseason. What is the mentality once you guys hit the postseason?
Killers kill. Killers kill.
It's a life lesson. That's from Zion Williamson, Mully and Haw on the Score. And let's get out to Jerry Palm. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Well, we're all excited. This is your time of year. You had it all picked already. Any surprises for you? Was there any? I think you missed one team.
Nice job, Jerry.
I mean, my goodness, Jerry.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Thank you. Belmont was the team that I missed. Didn't have a very good strength of schedule, and their only win over a team in the field was Murray State. That said, I mean, they still had done well against Quadrant 1 and Quadrant 2, which the committee likes. Like the fact that they were a pretty efficient offensive team. I saw them against Purdue this year at Mackey Arena, and Purdue had them pretty good up until maybe 10 minutes or so to go, and they made a run and closed it up a little bit, but Purdue won by, I want to say, 11 or so. So they're a pretty good team. They've got an NBA guy on the roster. They have a chance to win a couple of games. Now that they're in, you know, that's the thing. Once you get in, if you can't get in, you can play your way out of a bad seed, but you can't play your way out of not being selected. And Belmont's got a chance to win a couple of games.
Jerry, Michigan State being seeded second and relegated to the Eastern bracket along with, you know, with Duke, seems like the wrong place to be for a Big Ten champion. Would they have been better off losing in the Big Ten tournament and maybe going elsewhere? And what did you think of that decision?
Well, I mean, it was exactly the way they bracket. It's based on geography. So, you know, when they're doing the two seeds, Tennessee's the top two, they go in to the closest region for them. The only rule there is that the top two can't be with the top one. So they couldn't be with Duke, but they wouldn't have anyway. They go to Louisville, and then Michigan State goes to the closest region for them, and that's available because Louisville's not. They go to Washington, D.C. That's just the way it works. Had they lost that game, they'd probably have been in Michigan's spot, and they get Gonzaga's region, but their fans can't go because the games are all in Anaheim. So, you know, they want to make it so that the fans can go to the game. That's something that all of the schools have say they'd prefer. So, look, if you're going to win this tournament, you got to beat Duke's. You can't whine about having to play Duke eventually, so go beat them.
You know, as I look at three ACC teams among the number one seeds, and maybe that speaks to how good those teams are, or maybe when we look at the Big Ten getting the most teams in it, that's a more balanced conference. I don't know how you rate it, but Gonzaga wouldn't have been there. Tennessee would have been the fourth team had they won, and so Gonzaga gets there, and Mark Few has done an amazing job of getting that program, turning it into a national powerhouse. It's kind of amazing since taking over that job now, what is it, 19
it's been at
years
least a
ago?
Decade.
Yeah, it's yeah. been. It's. I think he got there in 99.
No, I don't think he's been there quite that long. I don't think he's been there 20 years. He did not start the build. It was, I want to say, Don Monson started it. And then one of the problems that programs like I have maintaining success is that whenever you get, you know, 3 years seasons or whatever, someone's taking your coach. And then you've got to get another coach to sustain it. So Gonzaga was lucky that once their program had started its rise, that they got a guy like Mark Few, who's happy to be a lifer at that place and happens to be an outstanding coach and able to build that program, you know, take what was already on the rise and keep it going to a level where now it's really an elite program in a non-major conference, but still an elite-level program. And it is an unusual story in college basketball to have something like that sustained itself for so long.
Jerry, there weren't a lot of teams or programs that had gripes about being left out. Was UNC Greensboro one of them who had a legitimate complaint? And also, when you look at seeding, was Cincinnati, after winning the AAC conference tournament, deserving of their number 7 seed?
Well, to blame at some point. There was a game you could have won that you didn't. There was, I think if Greensboro could get with, 29 points of Wofford the first two times they played them, they played them great the third time, but just got annihilated the first two times. They didn't have their best wins or East Tennessee and Furman, non-tournament teams. I mean, they didn't beat anybody in the field. Greensboro didn't give the committee a compelling reason to leave them out, but they also didn't give them a compelling reason to take them. As for Cincinnati, that's the most questionable seed. However, it worked out well for them because they get to play in Columbus. So that's going to be – it may not be a Cincinnati home game because Tennessee will bring a lot of fans, but for Cincinnati fans and the Cincinnati program, really, you're better off being a 7 in Columbus than, say, a 6 in Salt Lake.
The fact that Loyola made it to a Final Four last year, everybody seems to be asking who's this year's Loyola, and I don't know – that there is a team out there that you can say looks like they're going to pull off whatever, three last-second shots.
You wouldn't have said that about Loyola last.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So how do we determine who that team's going to be? I mean, a lot of things have to go your way in order to pull off that sort of a trip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if it happened every year, it wouldn't be news.
Right.
So it's most likely not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Now, that this year's Loyola is not there. That doesn't mean there aren't double-digit seeds that could win a game or two, and I think Belmont's one of them. Murray State with John Morant, an NBA lottery pick guard on a small school roster is unusual. And although Murray State has had that kind of guy before, they had Popeye Jones, if you remember, but they might be able to win a game or two. They got a good draw, Marquette team that's really struggling. I think that Murray could win a game. I think Liberty could win a game. I like New Mexico State to win one or two. Those are teams that 12, 13 seeds, those are dangerous teams. Pretty much all of them are dangerous teams. UC Irvine, I think, is playing Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. That's a really good team, and Kansas is a program that struggled this year to play away from home. Kansas State they're playing, who's shorthanded.
Jerry Mulley's got Michigan going to the Final Four. I've got Purdue getting to the Final Four. Big Ten has 8 teams. Besides Michigan State, who we've talked about having to face Duke on the way there, anybody we're overlooking? Anybody that's got an outside shot of going deep in the tournament?
Not that deep. No, those are the only three that are equipped to go that deep in the tournament. It's been a great year in the Big Ten. You were talking about before, three ACC teams as number one seeds, but the Big Ten top to bottom has been unbelievable this year. I've been, watching forever. I'm a Purdue guy, so I've been watching the Big Ten, for 35 years, and it's never been this deep in terms of talent on the rosters. Michigan, yeah, they're a great tournament team. They always seem to play above their seed. Gonzaga is going to be a handful. I mean, that's a team that can win the national championship, but they certainly have a chance. Michigan State's got a chance. Purdue will go as far as Carson Edwards takes him. He was 4-for-17 from the floor and had 6 turnovers against Minnesota. They can handle 4-for-17 and beat somebody. They can handle 6 turnovers and beat somebody, but they can't handle both. He's got to take care of the ball and hit some shots, or Purdue will not last past the Sweet 16.
I think, Purdue can obviously win in the first round. Then they face Villanova, which, again,
maybe.
Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Don't rule out St. Mary's.
Yeah,
see,
but I mean,
I got that upset.
I was just going to say, I'm glad to hear you say that. I look at coaches, and Jay Wright's an unbelievable coach whose team was terrible at the beginning of the year, and they've turned it around quite a bit. That's the only thing that worries me. But then,
well, that's Purdue's story too,
right? But Purdue Tennessee. I was going to say Tennessee is not an easy draw. Just seems like they are really hitting some powerhouses if they keep winning.
And you're leaving out top seeded Virginia,
right?
I mean, that's a great region,
right?
And really, Purdue is capable absolutely of a Final Four run. Their offense, especially when Carson Edwards is shooting the ball well. That offense is as efficient as anybody's, and they defend really well. And you've got a guy in Carson Edwards that's hard for people to guard. You've got a guy in Matt Harms that's hard for people to guard, and great shooters all over the floor. So they're capable of that kind of a run. But it's going to depend on Carson Edwards. He's going to, especially the deeper they get into the tournament, he's going to have to play well. He can't go, you know, 17 points on 25 shots.
Jerry, after devoting so much time and energy to figuring out who's going to be in the bracket and getting all but one team right, and I think that's exceptional, which is harder for you, predicting that or now, you know, predicting who you think will win and filling out your own bracket?
Filling out the bracket's always harder because you never know what you're going to get in the NCAA tournament. So that's what makes it fun, right? You try to find the potential upsets, try and figure out which of these teams has what it takes to win six games. It's not a very long list of teams to win six games, but it's a lot harder because it just feels like more of a crapshoot trying to figure out who's going to win all these games. Even though you know who's good, it only takes one bad day and you're out.
So who's your Final Four?
Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Ah, so you picked against the Boilers. All
right. Well, I just think Tennessee's a tough matchup. I like them, though. Yeah. And Tennessee beat Purdue last year in the tournament in the Bahamas or wherever they played last year. And you can see this year's Tennessee team coming, and they remind me a lot of last year's Purdue team in that they've got really good college-level players, a couple of guys that have developed into potential NBA players, and then they're old. You know, they're old and they're good. And you don't get a lot of old and good in college basketball. Usually you're young and good, and then the young guys leave, and you get more young guys to replace them. But Tennessee is old and good, and I like that.
Great stuff, Jerry. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
All right, thank you.
That's Jerry Palm, CBS Sports.
Busy guy.
Yeah, this is his time of year.
Yep.
And ditto Mike DeCourcy. It's his time of year. We're going to bring him in next. We'll talk to our man from the Sporting News, the Big Ten Network, Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.